You don't, either going to have to trust me or look on with somebody else. Mark chapter 2, if you will. We're going to begin in Mark chapter 2, verse 23. Read down through the end of that chapter and then into the next chapter. I don't know that I've ever done this preaching, but I'm going to preach out of two chapters. Sure, we got to change things up, all right? I'll never forget one time talking years ago with Brother Oftedal, and he made the statement. He said, if you're preaching, you're going to preach, but you're going to teach a little bit. And he said, and if you teach, you'll preach a little bit. So tonight there may be more teaching than normal, all right? But hey, that's all right. We're here. It's Sunday night. And usually on Sunday night, the folks that are here are saved. If you're not saved, you never trusted Christ, you can get saved tonight. As a matter of fact, if you want to, you can get saved right now. We'll stop everything else. We don't have to do anything else. We can give the invitation now. And if you want to get saved, we'll be thrilled to death. And I'm not kidding about that. We want you to go to heaven more than anything else. So we was talking today. I went to see Brother Brett Schneider, my wife and I, on the elevator. And we were talking to a fellow there, and he was talking about going to heaven. And I believe the old boy saved, and he said, when I get to heaven, you know, I said, yes, sir, we're going to have a time. So, hey, that's where we want you to go, all right? All right, you're there in Mark chapter 2. Look, if you will, verse 23. And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, have you never read what David did when he had need and was hungered, he and they that were with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread which is not lawful to eat but for the priest, and gave also to them which were with him? And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Now, as you read the Gospels, if you pay attention, all right, if you pay attention, you have to see that there were always those around Jesus Christ who were ready to throw rocks. There were always those who seemed to have only one goal, and that one goal was to criticize any move that Jesus made and any words that he said. I just want to say to you, anybody can criticize. Anybody can criticize. Anybody can tear down. The easiest job in the world is a critic. Easiest job in the world is a critic. Doesn't require any training. Doesn't require any special education. You don't have to practice it. And it doesn't require knowledge. But I just want us to look tonight. I entitled the message, Oh, to be a Critic. To be a critic, all right? And I want us to look, and as we go through these scriptures, I want you to learn something. But hopefully, I want you to learn what not to do, all right? I don't want you to be a critic, and maybe you are here. Now, I want you to know I am a person that can easily get myself into the critical gear. I can downshift into criticizing at any time. And I'm good at it. Remember, though, I said it doesn't take any training. Doesn't take any knowledge. Doesn't take any practice, all right? But, I mean, you know, we can criticize. We can criticize, and there's always something to find. But I want you to look at those critics tonight, and I want you to just look at a few things. First of all, I want you to see that they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. All that followed the Lord were not believers. All that followed him were not believers. But regardless of where Jesus went, there were always, seemed to be always, some Pharisees or Sadducees or scribes or maybe even some of the priests. In some occasions, all of them, some of all of them were present. They were always there. They were always hanging around. And I'm looking at this passage of Scripture. Notice what the Bible said they were doing in verse 23. Now, it was on the Sabbath day, but they were going through the cornfields, and as they went along, they began to pluck a few ears of corn. Now, let me say this to you. In the Old Testament, under the Old Testament law, that was legal for them to do, even if it was in your cornfield. Okay? It was okay for them. It was all right for them to go through and pick a few ears of corn to eat. Now, it wasn't all right for you to go harvest in another man's field, all right? But it was okay for you to go there and pick a few ears of corn, and you shouldn't have to worry about the owner coming out with a shotgun and shooting you, okay? Because it wasn't, under the word of God, that was acceptable for them to do for God's people, all right? But here they were, that's what they were doing. I read that and I marvel. Why were the Pharisees even there? You're hanging around to watch them go through the cornfield? But they were there. They were there. I mean, they were present, you know. And now they weren't fans, okay? They were critics. They were critics. And we see they were, even present on the Sabbath day as they went through that cornfield. They were devoted followers. Now, not devoted, obedient followers, but they were devoted followers, all right? And they did it. They were still around when our Lord entered the synagogue. I believe it was on the same day. I believe he's running along here. It was on the Sabbath day. They were in the corn. I don't think it was another week or so later that verse 1 of chapter 3 says, and entered again into the synagogue. And he was there in verse 2, according to verse 2, it was in that synagogue on the Sabbath day. So I think here they are on the same day, and they can't even go out and pluck a few ears of corn to eat without the followers, the critics, following them along just to be there, okay? They were still there, and they just kept hanging around. That to me is amazing, and it's just mind-boggling. Then we see this, they were focused. They were focused, these fellows, right? They had one desire, and that desire was to accuse. Notice down there what it says in verse 2 of chapter 3. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might think, well, praise the Lord, that man got healed. Man, look at there. Can you believe it? No. They weren't looking to rejoice with anybody. They weren't looking to be happy. They weren't looking to be amazed. They were looking to accuse. They were looking to find fault. All right? That was it. That was their focus. They wanted to catch him in what they thought was a mistake. They were looking for something, anything, if you will, that they could use against him. Now, I want to say this to you. There's still people like that today. If you're a child of God and you are trying to maintain a testimony for God, all right? I'm not saying you're trying to be the best Christian in the world, but you're trying to maintain a certain degree of testimony for God. Hey, if the best you could do was a 10, and that's the best anybody could do was a 10. And you're saying, well, I'm just trying to maintain a 3. That's fine. And then you can work later to get up above that, all right? But if you're trying to maintain any kind of testimony for the Lord, I want you to know there'll be somebody around to criticize you, because the critics are still there. There are people hanging around looking for you to mess up. They want you to make a mistake. They're looking for anything that you might do that could be construed as wrong. Because their one desire is, I like to chunk rocks. I like to criticize. Never do anything constructive. And by the way, I found this, the folks that are real critics and want to criticize, they seldom do anything for God. They seldom do anything for God. Hey, look, if that's your desire and that's your focus, you're looking to criticize somebody. Hey, if you're looking for something for me to criticize, you can find it. You can find it. All right, I mean, you pick anybody here. Anybody here. If you want to find something, you can find to criticize. Well, every one of us, you can do it, all right? You can, you know. Hey, if nothing else, you can say, well, they're just doing that to impress somebody else. Hey, there's always a way to twist what's going on, all right? I don't want to bring politics into this, so we won't, all right? We'll just go on. My man, politicians are marvelous at it. They find something to accuse and to criticize. Well, hey, in the world of Christianity, in the realm of serving God, there's always going to be some people around that are going to try to criticize you. I want you to understand that. When you got saved, everybody didn't get happy. I mean, the truth of the matter is, as you begin to live for God, the stronger you begin to live for God, the plainer the target gets on your back. And there's going to be people that are going to come after you and criticize you. Hey, these followers there of the Lord Jesus, they were not followers in the sense we are, but they were following to find fault. They were very focused. That was their one desire. It was to see something, and it was that they could accuse him and just waiting for him to slip up, all right? But the third thing I want you to see is these people were badly, badly flawed. Because they forgot something real important. Real important. Now, the focus here is on what day? It's on the Sabbath, all right? Focus here is on the Sabbath. Here you are. Hey, don't your disciples know it's not lawful for them to do what they're doing, plucking those ears of corn on the Sabbath? We get in the synagogue, and they're focused on Jesus, waiting to see, are you going to heal that man on the Sabbath? Well, they were flawed. These fellows forgot in their feigned love for the law. They forgot who wrote that law. Amen. They forgot. Hey, it was God's law. It's not man's. Now, when we're talking about the law here, okay? When we're talking about the law, we're talking about the Old Testament law, okay? We're talking about the Old Testament law. That which you'll find, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You'll find it in there, especially in the book of Leviticus. And we'll find it there, but some in Exodus also, all right? You'll find that law. So that's what we're talking about. And now, these fellows who acted like they were experts regarding the Sabbath. Because here was the problem. It's what are you going to do on the Sabbath? What's lawful to do? Hey, there's people today. And I don't want to name names, but it's Seventh-day Adventist, all right? Now, they're not the only ones, but what they would like to do is force the Sabbath on Gentiles. You go down around Keene, south of here. Keene's where the Seventh-day Adventist school is. By the way, I don't hate these people. Good lands. When you point out wrong, somebody's always thinking, oh, man, you just hate. We don't hate those people. I don't hate anybody at all, all right? But they're wrong when it comes to the Word of God. And what they want to do is, They don't worship on Sunday. They worship on Saturday. There's a cafe down here in Haltom City. I think that's the name of it, the cafe, right? That, I think it's the name of it. Down here on Denton Highway, really down just before you get to Belknap. If you don't know which one it is, it's the one with a police officer and Marilyn Monroe standing on top, all right? And those two are on top of that cafe. That cafe is run by Seventh-day Adventist people. So it's never open on Saturday. So don't go there to eat on Saturday. But it's open on Sunday. And by the way, got some good food. Don't order the pot pie, but other than that, it's good food, all right? By the way, not preaching against their business. That's fine. Hey, by the way, they can go whenever they want to, all right? But those people, they're Seventh-day Adventists, so they're closed on Saturday because Saturday's the day they attend church, okay? But that's a misunderstanding of the Sabbath. Misunderstanding. I want you to take your Bible, okay? Now, you may want to leave a finger here in the book of Mark, but I want you to go with me over to Ezekiel chapter 20, would you? Ezekiel chapter 20. Look, the way you decide things is from the Word of God. You open the book and see what the book says, all right? And Ezekiel chapter 20 is pretty plain, all right? I know it's this terrible English 400 years ago, but you can understand it. Ezekiel 20, look, if you will, in verse 12. Verse 12, Ezekiel 20, verse 12. The Bible says, "Oh, and I gave them my statutes." Oh, excuse me, that's verse 11. Verse 12, "Moreover, also as I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify thee." Now the question is, who's the they and the them? Well, look at verse 21. "But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walk not in my statutes, and they despise my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. And my Sabbaths they greatly polluted." Who's the they and the them? Well, it's Israel. It's Israel, the nation of Israel. All right? That's who it is. Drop down to verse 19. "I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God." That's between God and Israel. Hey, so what are you saying? I'm saying it's given, the Sabbath was specifically given to the Jews. It was given to the Jews. It wasn't given. It was never, and it wasn't made, the Sabbath wasn't made for any Gentile or any member of the body of Christ. Let me take you over to the New Testament, all right? Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Here's the apostle to the Gentiles writing. All right? The apostle Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. And he begins to lay out, if you will, some commandments for Christians. New Testament Christians. Now, wait a minute. If you're saved today, that's what you are, is a New Testament Christian. We're not an Old Testament saint. We're a New Testament Christian. And he begins to lay out commandments. Look in verse 8. "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled..." The what? The law. "For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet." Wait a minute. Where's that from? Ten Commandments, all right? That's directly from what we refer to as Ten Commandments. All right? "And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." Now, this is the word that was given by God to the Apostle Paul. Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, but God saved him. God saved him, and he showed him something about that law. Did you notice what was missing in those commandments? There's no remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. wasn't there, okay? Why? Because that Sabbath was not given to a New Testament Christian. Sometimes you'll hear people pray in church. And they'll say something along the line, Lord, thank you for this Sabbath day. Well, that's not correct. This is not the Sabbath. That was yesterday. Okay? This Sunday is the first day of the week. The Sabbath in the Old Testament time, the Old Testament Sabbath was the seventh day of the week. The seventh day of the week is Saturday. All right? That Old Testament Jew under the law kept the Sabbath. There were very strict requirements of what could and could not be done on the Sabbath. Because of those requirements, that's why those critics looked at Jesus there in chapter 2 of Mark and said, hey, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? Now, what in the world were they getting at? Well, what they were getting at, they weren't supposed to work on the Sabbath. They weren't supposed to work on the Sabbath. But now, wait a minute. These same critics, later on in the scripture, you find where these critics would feed and water their livestock on the Sabbath. And if one of their oxen fell in a ditch on the Sabbath, they'd get him out. And that was okay. But they'd condemn anybody that would do anything similar. Why? Because they were critics. Amen. That's all they were interested in was criticizing. They were interested in finding fault with the Lord Jesus Christ. Critics are built that way, okay? They're just built that way. These so-called authorities, though, were not willing to answer a simple question regarding the Sabbath. Look there, if you will, in verse 4. See, here the Lord is in the synagogue. There, the critics are watching him. But you not mark it down. Our Savior was watching them. But he went further than watching them. He read their minds. He read their minds. They were watching him to see, as verse 2 says, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, so they could accuse him. So the Lord Jesus Christ, being God, he saith unto them in verse 4, a simple question. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil? Is it lawful to save life or to kill? And these authorities on the Sabbath wouldn't answer. They would not answer. Par for the course for those only interested in criticizing. We're not interested in engaging in a conversation. We're interested in criticizing. We're interested in finding fault. Sometimes people like that get in local churches. They're just interested in criticizing. They're interested in finding fault. They're interested in stirring up trouble. Now, this is the best part of this account to me. The Lord Jesus Christ made them face the truth. He said to them some things. He had asked them, by the way, he had asked them a question up there in chapter 2. Verse 24 or 5, he said, have ye never read what David did? Now, we can't find recorded they answered that question either, all right? That question he asked in verse 25 and verse 26. They never bothered to answer that. So the Lord helped them out. The Lord makes a statement in verse 27. He said, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Hey, the Sabbath was put here for the benefit of man. Man, can I say this to you? We worship on Sunday. That day is to be set aside for God's people to worship, and that is for our benefit. It is for our benefit. We need to remember that. That the Lord, He changed that day. It changed in the New Testament. You find them worshiping on Sunday. All throughout the New Testament church, they're worshiping on Sunday. But this, the Lord Jesus Christ said to them, therefore the Son of Man, I started to say a real subtle hint, but there wasn't anything subtle about it. What Jesus was saying, He said, you're looking at God. He said, you're looking at me. He said, I am the Son of Man, and He is Lord of the Sabbath. He's Lord of the Sabbath. He was declaring before those men, hey, you're looking at God in the flesh. You're looking at God in the flesh. Now notice, he did that in connection with David. Now when this incident happened in David's life, when David went into the temple and when he took and ate of the showbread, all right, or he went into the house of God, wasn't the temple, it was actually tabernacle, but when he went into the house of God there and ate that showbread, David was king. He had been crowned, but he wasn't on the throne yet. Hey, can I tell you this? The Son of Man is king, but he wasn't on the throne yet. There's going to be a period of at least 2,000 years before he ascends the throne. But like David, he was king. He had already been anointed king, all right? And like David, he was able. He didn't violate that law. They knew what David had done in eating the showbread. They knew David wasn't judged for doing that. Hey, they knew what was going on. And our Lord knew what was lawful. He wrote the law. He wrote that law. His heart, the Bible says, was grieved because of the hardness of their hearts. Grieved because of the hardness of their heart. Hey, can I say this as a real problem? You say, why do people criticize hard hearts? Hard heart. People that want to criticize all the time, they got a hard heart. You said, preacher, you said you were good at criticizing. Yeah, when I let my heart get hard, I can be a good critic. It's hard heart, okay? Hard heart. That was the problem. Real problem, by the way, for the carping critic of the day, he's got a hard heart. Nothing's changed. But these critics were forced to face the fact, let me say it this way, that Jesus Christ was able. He was able to handle his critics. Did you notice how simply he did it? When they came and said, you know, your disciples, they're doing, why do they on the Sabbath day, what's unlawful for them to do? Lord didn't say, what are you talking about, you bunch of knuckleheads? He said, wait a minute, have you not read? Hey, these were Pharisees. They had read it. Have you not read and how he went into the house of the Lord? Have you not read that? Hey, he knew how to handle those critics when they came to him in the synagogue, waiting and watching to see what he was going to do. He was well able, all right? He was able, all right, to handle his critics. He did it here with his actions, but he also did it with the questions that they could not and would not answer. Wouldn't answer. He knew how to handle them. Can I say this to you? If people begin to criticize you, don't spend your time fighting them. Don't spend your time fighting your critics. You'll get distracted. You'll get pulled away from what you're supposed to be doing. If you're serving God, and because of your service for God, people begin to criticize, they find fault with you, don't let them pull you aside. Don't get into the big argument. It was like it was in Nehemiah's day. They were building the wall, and they had their critics, and those critics said, come down and talk to us. And Nehemiah said, we don't have time. We don't have time. We're working on a building right here. We don't have time to come down. When folks criticize you, don't get pulled aside to argue and to fight with them, all right? Now, our Lord was able to answer all the questions they had. And you said, well, preacher, I'm not. That's okay. Don't worry about it. Just tell people, check out the book, all right? Read the book. Tell them, let me study. If they got a real question that's legit, I'll try to answer it. You may have to give me time to look up the answer. But man, the Lord was able to do it. Hey, but my favorite thing to say is the Lord was able to change the circumstances. He spoke to that fellow there with that withered hand. And the first thing he said is stand forth. You step up, step forward. We're going to put you in the limelight. Here's the crowd over here looking to see what I'm going to do. They're looking and waiting to find fault if I help you on the Sabbath day. I've asked them a simple question, and those gutless cowards won't answer that simple question. So, but that's all right. And he said, you stand forth. And then he said, you stretch forth thine hand. All he had to do, when he did, boy, that hand was completely restored. Completely restored. You see, the Lord's able to change the circumstances. I want you to make a note of that. He's able to change the circumstances. He can change your circumstances. When you've got questions, when the critics cause you to doubt, you just let the Lord work. Let the Lord work. He can take care of things. He can change the circumstances. Give him that chance to do it. Don't give up on him. But that's not all. I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, won't you look at one verse with me here tonight. Matthew chapter 5, the whole crux of the matter is regarding the Sabbath, is it lawful? Is it lawful? Here's what Jesus Christ told the crowd. Think not, this is Matthew 5:17. Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. To fulfill. And he did that. And he did that. He fulfilled that law. He did what no man could ever do. First of all, he obeyed the law. He didn't break it in any point. He obeyed that law. He fulfilled that law. You say, preacher, what do you want me to get from the message tonight? Two things. First, don't be a critic. Don't be a critic. There's a lot better way to use your life than criticizing. A lot better way to use your life than finding fault. All right? A lot better way to do that. God didn't put you here to get out your magnifying glass to look at for flaws in fellow believers. Okay? God, you're not here for that purpose. We're not here putting everybody under the magnifying glass. How do they measure up to me? Well, if we're going to measure, you ain't the measuring stick. Okay? I'm not the measuring stick. If you're going to be doing that, remember this, you get out your magnifying glass, the one you want to compare to is not me and it's not somebody else and it's definitely not you. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our example. Now, I got news for you. You don't need a big magnifying glass to see where we don't measure up to him. We don't measure up to him. Don't be a critic. Don't be a critic. Don't do it. Secondly, don't let the critics bother you. Don't let the critics bother you. And just don't let them get you down. There's critics. Look, We're independent fundamental Baptists. All right, that's what we are. We're Bible believers. We still hold to this old King James Bible. There's a ton of people criticize us. If you got more time on your hands than you know what to do with, you can go online and find people criticizing independent fundamental Baptists. Matter of fact, crucifying them. And a lot of the things they say are not true. They're just flat out lies. But I got other things to do than listen to all the critics. Don't go through life letting the critics bother you. Can I say this to you as humbly as I know how, and I mean this. I'm not being sarcastic. I can be sarcastic, but I'm not being sarcastic now. I'm not going to let the critics bother me. If that fellow right there wants to criticize me, it's his privilege. Have at it, but I ain't going to worry about it. I'm not going to spend my life worrying about the critics. Not going to let it get me down. It's not going to do it. I don't care who the critic is. I'm not going to go through life sweating what the critics say. And I'm encouraging you, don't let the critics get you down. Man, I'm not ashamed of the name Baptist. I am a Baptist. I'm Baptist by conviction. There's a reason that we have the word Baptist on the sign out there. It tells folks what we believe, all right? There is a body of doctrine that goes with that word. I'm not ashamed of that. There's critics out there that want to criticize. Go ahead, have at it. I'm not going to worry about it. I'll tell you what I'm worried about. Lord, what do you think about me? That's what I'm worried about. Lord, what do you think? Fred over here, Jack over there, doesn't matter. Now, I'm not going to intentionally offend people, but it's not the critics I'm worried about. It's, Lord, I'm going to stand before you one day. I will stand in front of you and answer for my life. I'm not going to stand in front of my brother and answer for my life. I'm not going to stand in front of Brother Minyard and answer for my life. But I'm going to stand in front of God. I'm going to stand in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the one I'm worried about. That's the one I'm trying to satisfy. You know what? That's what Jesus was doing too. He said, I came to do my Father's will. Not the will of the Pharisees. Not the will of the Sadducees. Not the will of the priest. Not the will of the scribes. He said, I came to do my Father's will. That's where our focus needs to be. Don't let the critics get you down. And whatever, don't be one. Don't spend your life going around looking for something to criticize. Hey, if you do that, if you can find something to criticize, pick anybody, all right? If you can find something to criticize them, instead of criticizing, won't you go to them, wrap your arm around them, say, look, I'm going to pray with you about something right here. I think you could do a better job here. Won't you try to help them instead of criticizing? Would you stand tonight with every head bowed and every eye closed? Listen, anybody can be a critic. Anybody can be a critic. They criticize the Lord Jesus Christ constantly.